Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, replacing garage doors for improved curb appeal and energy efficiency. Details at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, June 9th. I'm Ola Kouziz. Three people were trapped inside Centennial Christian Church on May 16th after a tornado swept through St. Louis. But calls for help to 911 went unanswered.
That stuff cost people's lives. St. Louis City and St. Louis County got to get that right.
That story coming up after this news on The Gateway. As response to the St. Louis tornado enters a fourth week, the city is changing its approach. Today, a new disaster assistance center opens at the Chaffetz Arena. It'll offer recovery resources, including legal assistance and mental health care. And the city is now asking residents to place tornado debris along curbs. National Guard debris drop-off sites closed yesterday. North City resident Terry Gray was among the last people to drop off debris and doubts the city's new plan for clearing wreckage.
It'll be there for ages. I hate to say it, but, you know, just like the pothole, they'll be there until the next storm.
Officials say city crews and contractors will pick up the debris. And according to a recent journal article, African Americans are more burdened by the effects of tornadoes. Researchers found that tornadoes can increase racial segregation through abandonment and displacement. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports.
According to the Journal of Economic Studies entry, Tornadoes, Poverty, and Race in the USA, high levels of vacancy and displacement occur when tornadoes hit Black communities. Researchers found some barriers to recovery can be discriminatory practices in homeowners insurance and low homeownership rates. Russ Cation co-authored the journal entry. He says more affluent communities typically can rebuild quicker after tornadoes because they have more wealth and are insured.
When an emergency happens, and we saw this in COVID, they don't have the resources. So they're vulnerable, but they're strong, but they just lack that opportunity.
Cation says city officials should offer Black communities more tornado preparedness training and provide immediate plans for equitable recovery. I'm Andre Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis County Executive Sam Page is calling on the council to support the county animal shelter via NFL settlement funds. In a letter to council members Friday, Page requested legislation that would use $3 million of its Rams settlement to support improvements, program development, and operational costs at the shelter. The letter follows a request for funding by Department of Public Health Director Dr. Kanika Cunningham. Earlier this week, the council voted to subpoena 11 people regarding controversies at the shelter, including the euthanasia of 19 dogs. Despite complying with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Missouri has yet to receive its Title X grant, which funds reproductive health care services. That could mean health care, which was previously offered for free, will now come with a cost. HHS has withheld the $8.5 million grant for 2 months now. Zach Moser runs the Dent County Health Center, a clinic that relies on Title X money.
We would not be able to offer those services completely for free.
Moser says his county had little to no family planning services before the center's federally funded program started 3 years ago. A new bike trail and bridge across Interstate 64 in Fairview Heights will be getting a $3 million state grant. As St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports, Metro East transit leaders say it's part of an ongoing project to connect the rest of St. Clair County to the Metro Bike Link system.
The St. Clair County Transit District operates 39 miles of bike trail, largely snaking along the Metrolink rail. This bridge over I-64 will join the city's popular rec center to the rest of the trail network when it's completed. Ken Sharkey is the managing director of the St. Clair County Transit District. He says a project like this is good for the community.
And we do believe that, you know, it creates an increase in values as well, because it's another amenity that other communities may not have. And people want to live, you know, next to an amenity like that. Whether they use it or not, they still like to have it close by.
Sharkey says the state grant won't cover all the project. He also estimates it will be at least 3 years before it's finished. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Centennial Christian Church sits in the heart of Fountain Park. It's the lifeline of the North St. Louis neighborhood. But last month, an EF3 tornado destroyed the 121-year-old church. Three people were trapped inside, buried beneath the rubble for nearly 2 hours. One of them did not make it out alive. As St. Louis Public Radio's Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson reports, repeated calls from a victim inside Centennial to the city's 911 emergency line went unanswered.
The remains of Centennial Christian Church are surrounded by piles of bricks, wood, and other debris. A large section of the church's roof is caved in. Parts of the steeple are gone. Cheryl Jackson was one of three people trapped inside of Centennial when a tornado ripped through it on May 16th.
I was really thankful that, you know, we got out alive because it could have been a very different story.
Jackson has been a member of Centennial for nearly 70 years. Her meeting with DeMarco K. Davidson, the executive director of Metropolitan Congregations United in the church's North Chapel, was supposed to be uneventful. But within an hour, everything went downhill. The sun gone. The lights flickered. Hail pummeled the chapel's stained glass windows. Then the lights went out and the walls and doors started to violently shake.
That was one of the scariest moments because it's not like you can just jump away from a tornado, just duck and hide from a tornado, especially a tornado that is hitting a building. We never saw it coming. We didn't hear a siren.
Davidson and Jackson opened the door and saw Patricia Pendleton. She had been at the church earlier that day, meeting with people in the neighborhood, experiencing homelessness. They didn't know she was still there. The situation was becoming increasingly dangerous. Davidson held on to Jackson to protect her as the wind picked up. Then he called out to Pendleton.
My last words were, "Miss Peck, get away from the..." And that was it. Then it was like a boom.
The floor of the church collapsed beneath them before they could reach her. And within seconds, the ceiling and roof came crashing down around them. They wouldn't see or hear Pendleton again. Jackson and Davidson were trapped beneath the rubble for nearly 2 hours. But there was a small sign of hope that day. Davidson still had his phone and working service. He dialed 911. But instead of a live operator, he got an automated message, and he clearly remembers what it said.
"Thank you for calling the non-emergency hotline. If this is an emergency, hang up and call 911. I literally asked myself, maybe I hit my head harder than I think. Maybe there's debris in my eye. Maybe the screen is dirty. Maybe I dialed a different number. Let me hang up and call again."
It happened again. Davidson immediately alerted family and friends that he and two other people were trapped and buried beneath the rubble of Centennial, and 911 was not answering. They all called 911 within St. Louis City and County, but help still hadn't arrived. That's despite a fire station located a minute away from the church. Trees were down all over St. Louis, blocking major roads. Traffic was at a standstill. Davidson called Reverend Deitra Wise Baker and gave her the rundown. She hung up and dialed 911. A St. Louis County dispatcher picked up. Wise Baker explained everything, but...
"He's like, I got to transfer you to the city. That's what he says. I got to transfer you to the city." I'm like, okay, fine, as long as they pick up, but they don't pick up.
She called back and got the same operator. Wise Baker told him that the call dropped.
He goes, "I know, they're overloaded." And I'm like, "So you can't take the call, you know?" And he's like, "No, you have to be transferred to the city."
The call dropped again. A 2023 Forward Through Ferguson report examining the state of public safety in the St. Louis region found the 911 landscape is inefficient and fragmented. The technology is outdated and response times vary. Reverend Wise Baker says there needs to be accountability.
That stuff costs people's lives. St. Louis City and St. Louis County got to get that right.
According to a St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department spokesperson, the city's 911 system was overwhelmed and disruptions in cell service may have also caused problems completing calls. The department says it only received 6 calls about Centennial collapsing. The department declined to comment on whether its protocol to reroute 911 calls to the non-emergency line. Wise Baker called 10th Ward Alderwoman Shamim Clark Hubbard and explained everything. The auto woman called officials at the city's police and fire departments. They said they'd get help to Centennial immediately. Clark Hubbard says elected officials stepping in for 911 shouldn't be the norm.
I don't take for granted my position. I don't take for granted the relationships that I respectfully have built with first responders to be able to even pick up the phone and call them, right? There is a real challenge, and there continues to be a real challenge with our 911 response here in the city of St. Louis.
The St. Louis Fire Department eventually made it to Centennial. Davidson recorded a video of firefighters cutting a hole in a door to get them out.
You can cut a hole in that door
at the very top. Hold on. Wait, there's glass.
Davidson was met by members of his church and friends when he did get out.
And that was also some of the first people that was, you know, hugging on me when I came out the debris and everything as well. So, you know, I am blessed. I'm blessed to have such an amazing community.
Jackson and Davidson made it out with minor physical injuries, but 74-year-old Patricia Pendleton did not. As soon as he got out, Davidson wanted to find Miss Pat.
That was the first time I cried and all that, was seeing all those bricks where Miss Pat was and just feeling, that's where I felt hopeless and helpless. I just can't help but think, what else I could have done? I can't help but think that.
Nearly 4 weeks later, Davidson is still dealing with survivor's guilt. Centennial Christian Church's story, though, is far from over. Less than a week after the tornado, the congregation selected Reverend Dietra Wise Baker to be its transitional pastor. The congregation also voted to rebuild the church and keep it in Fountain Park neighborhood. I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Jonathan All edited that report. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Arla Kuziz, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.